Father, thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. Lord, chapter 6 and verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, the word there literally means healthy doctrines, wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen. Now, Paul calls Timothy a man of God. And this is a unique phrase that's used in the New Testament. There's no one else in the New Testament that's referred to as a man of God. Now, in the Old Testament, it's very common. The prophets, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, and many of the prophets were referred to as men of God. That is a man of God. And I don't think it's some coincidence that the Apostle Paul speaks about Timothy calling him a man of God. There was something distinct about him and his life that caused the Apostle Paul to say, but you, Paul, you're not like all these others that I've just mentioned, all these different categories of people. You instead are a man of God. And we know he was a man of God because from a child, he was taught the scripture. It says in chapter 3, in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. So we know that Timothy had an early start on becoming a man of God. He had an early start. From a child, he was taught the scripture. 2 Timothy 1 and 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. The word there means sincere or without hypocrisy. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So you can see this was a generational impact. Your grandmother, your mother, and now Timothy. There's no mention of a natural physical father in Timothy's life. And so his grandmother and his mother took it upon themselves and the responsibility to teach him the word of God, to teach him the scripture, to bring him up in the fear of the Lord. And it was their unfeigned faith, their genuine, real faith that made such an impact upon young Timothy that he was growing up to become a man of God. And he caught the eye of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul saw him when he was no doubt a youth, a teenager, and he saw that there was something in him that was special. The hand of God was upon him, and he took it upon himself. You'll see in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and a couple of other places in the New Testament where Paul is writing, that he refers to Timothy as his son, his spiritual son. He called him his son, so he had no natural physical father in the picture as far as we know. But when Paul met him at a very young age, then he becomes his spiritual father. He becomes his mentor and Timothy becomes his spiritual son, and he invests in him along with his grandmother and his mother. And so he has this group that are working generational impact upon his life and causing him to become singly called out in all of the New Testament. As far as I can tell, he's the only one in the New Testament that is referred to as a man of God. Praise God. Now, I can't imagine many terms that would be any more preferred than to be called a man of God. Now, I've had people call me reverend, and I just shrink back from that. I don't want to be called reverend. It sounds, I don't know, too priestly or something. I don't know. I don't want to be a reverend. I'd rather just be a man of God. That's okay with me. Just be a preacher of the gospel. That would be fine with me, that terminology. But the desire to be called a man of God. Now, I believe that he called him that because he was growing into becoming a man of God. And he called him a man of God because he wanted him to aspire to that. Don't be like all these other things that we read about here in the first part of that chapter 6. But instead, be a man of God. Paul talking there to the Christians in Philippi, Philippians chapter 2. He said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort." He knew he could depend on him. I can be at peace. I can be in good comfort because I'm going to send Timothy to you. "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." He knew what had been poured into the heart and the life of Timothy. And he knew he's like-minded. I mean, he thinks like I do. His heart is like my heart. It's as if I'm there when he's there, and I can have peace and comfort knowing that Timothy's coming to be with you, and he's going to be, it's as if I'm there. It's not going to be me, but it's the next closest best thing to me being there. "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." So what must we do to earn that title of a man of God or a woman of God? What can we do? Well, then he tells Timothy what to do. "But thou, O man of God," three things. "Flee these things, follow after righteousness, and fight the good faith." There's the four F's for tonight. Flee these things. What are these things that he's talking about? And what does he mean when he says, flee from these things? You see, there are some temptations that we face in our life that you can't sit down and dialogue with the devil about it. You just have to get up and run from it. Flee from that temptation. You don't sit down and have a conversation with the devil about it. You just run the other direction as fast as you can. Just like Joseph did in Potiphar's house. When he is there doing the business of Potiphar, who is really his employer, his master. He's there in the house doing the business of Potiphar, but Potiphar's wife has set her eyes upon him. And the Bible says day by day, she just keeps coming. She just keeps with her temptation. tries to allure him, tries to tempt him. And finally, Joseph stands up and he runs as fast as he can run to get out of that house. So much so that he left his garment behind. She laid hold upon him and he left it behind because he understood this was not a temptation that he was going to be able to deal with. He had to run away from it. And Paul is telling Timothy, there are things that you need to run from. And he mentions those things in the text that we read. Go back to verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome truth or healthy doctrine, even the words of the Lord Jesus, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, run away from those that are promoting anything that is not sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. Amen. Now, when people mention the word doctrine, I've heard people say this before. Well, I don't want to get all caught up in doctrine. I just want to love Jesus, and that's all that really matters. That's not all that matters. It is important what you believe. It's important. Every word of God is true. Every part of God's word is true. And that's literally what doctrine is, just the teaching of the scripture. That's what the word really refers to. And there were those that he's warning them. Flee from those that have bad doctrine. Don't entertain it. Don't be a part of it. Don't listen to it. Don't allow it to have an effect upon you. And it is important. The Apostle Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I have taught you the doctrine of the word of the Lord. Every bit of it, all of it, it's important to know what you believe. Amen? It's important to know what the word of God says. Not only to know what you believe, but to know where it is in the scripture. To study the Bible and understand, well, this is what I believe, and this is where it is in God's word. And I can point you to the word of the Lord and let you know this is what I believe according to the authority of the word of God. And so he warned him, run away from bad doctrine. Flee from bad doctrine and bad teaching. And there's plenty of it going around these days. Plenty of it going around. I mean, there's a lot of bad doctrine in our world right now. There's a politician in Texas that's claiming to be Christian. And, he's promoting his Christianity. I'm a Christian, and he's promoting all his Christianity, but he believes in abortion. He believes in the gay movement. He believes in a lot of things that we know the Word of God teaches against. And so it doesn't matter how big your profession of faith is, if you've got bad doctrine, it doesn't mean anything. Amen. Know what you believe, get a hold of pure doctrine, and stay with it. So he was telling him when he said, but you, O man of God, you flee from these things. You run from these things. What was another thing here in this text? Verse 4 and 5, he says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. He was saying, run away from disputing and arguing about things. Avoid this conflict and arguments about the truth of the word of God. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. There were people that Paul is talking about that had bad doctrine, and they would stir up questions and strife with their questions and cause confusion and disputing about what they believed. And the Apostle Paul said, don't waste your time on all these questions and all this dispute. These disputes, run the other way. Flee away from all of these things. Get in the Word of God and know what you believe based upon the truth of the Word of God. So that's another thing that he's telling Timothy. Run away from these things. And then later he tells him, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That's all it will produce. All the arguments, all the debates, all of this, it only produces ungodliness. Amen. He was telling Timothy, Timothy, study the word of God. Spend time reading and studying the word of the Lord so that you will know the truth. Know the truth. And let me tell you what happens to a Christian that spends time filling their mind and their heart with the word of God and the truth of God's word. When you hear error, there's going to be this little signal that's going to go off in your spirit. You're going to say, wait just a minute. There's going to be a caution in your spirit when you hear it. And you're going to say, that doesn't ring true. That doesn't sound true. Because I've spent time in God's word. I've heard it preached and taught. I know what the word of God says. And so when someone gets off into error, you're going to be sensitive to that, and you're not going to be caught in the trap of false doctrine. So Paul's told Timothy, study the word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, so that you won't be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babblings. Don't waste your time with these arguments. Amen. Some people enjoy arguing about the Bible. And they've got all these little questions that they'll throw your way to try to stump you. You know what I do? As quickly as I can, I go the other direction. I get away from all that. That argument, that debate, and all these foolish questions, get away from them. It is a waste of your time, and it only produces ungodliness. Paul told Timothy, run away from it. Get away from it. Another area that he was warning them about fleeing from, and that is the desire for riches, the desire for wealth. Now, we know that money is an evil within itself, but the love for money is the root of every evil. And if you ever really thought much about that, meditated on that truth, pretty much everything is rooted in covetousness and the desire for more. Most murders, the root of it is a desire to advantage themselves. Of course, thievery and robbery and most criminal things that are committed, most things, it is the root of every evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And he warned him about that here. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Just find a place of contentment with what God has given to you. Don't allow yourself to be so caught up in material things and the love for the things of this world. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Amen. Just be content with what God has blessed you with, what God has given to you. And don't always be seeking just to have more, more, more of the things of this world. It's a trap. And Paul warned young Timothy about the trap and the desire of riches and the desire for more. They that will be rich are those that are wanting to be rich, desiring to be rich. They fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That desire, I understand that there's nothing wrong with having a desire to advance and to increase. I mean, I'm not saying that that is a bad thing within itself, but if that gets a hold of your heart and that's all that you have in your life is this desire just to get more. And the Apostle Paul is warning young Timothy, run from it. Don't let your heart be connected to a desire for more and more and more and more. Because you know what happens is, you set your goal and say, this is what I want. And as soon as you get that, it's not going to be satisfied. You're going to want more than that. And more than that. You're going to be desiring more and more of the things of this world. And the Apostle Paul said, Timothy, run away. Flee away from these things. Run from bad doctrine. Run from foolish debates and arguments. Run from a desire for the things of this world, possessions, and the things of this world. That's what he's talking about here. Man of God, you don't get caught in those same traps. Amen. But instead, follow after righteousness. Follow after righteousness. That's what he told him. Don't flee these things, but pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith, love, patience, meekness. Pursue after these things and turn away from so many things that will harm you and destroy the impact of your life and your ministry, your effectiveness for God. Follow after righteousness. And really, the important thing is to set your direction toward the things of God. It's not so much where you are right now. It's what is your direction in life? That's what concerns me many times. I can see someone and say, well, it looks like that they're doing okay. They're in the right position. But you see that they're facing the wrong direction. And because of that, we know that if they face that wrong direction, it won't be long until there will be a step in that direction. And another step in that direction. And they begin to follow after the things that will bring destruction. So if you want to follow after righteousness and godliness, then set your direction toward the things of God. Amen. It's not so much where you are right now, but what is the direction of your life? What are you pursuing in your life? Are you pursuing right righteousness, right living? Are you pursuing godliness to be more like Jesus? Are you pursuing faith, the desire to please God and to do what he's called you to do, to love, to patience, to meekness? These are the things that we're to follow after. There are things we have to run from, and there are things we need to run toward with all of our heart. Amen. Run after the things of God. Pursue the things of God and turn away from the things that will bring destruction. This was good advice to a young man of God. And it's good advice for you and me here tonight. Men of God, women of God, it's good counsel for us to understand there are some things you just have to run from. Flee temptation. Flee from idolatry. Flee away from things that you can't deal with. You can't dialogue with. You can't have a conversation with the enemy. Don't sit down at the bargaining table with the enemy of your soul. Run as hard as you can in the other direction. Amen. Flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then the third F is fight the good fight of faith. Praise God. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. So you flee away from some things. You run in the right direction and you pursue the right things. But then there's going to come a time that you're going to have to put up a fight. You're going to have to be willing to fight for that which is good. And, you know, I can't imagine the good fight is a fight that you lose. A good fight is the fight that you win. Amen. So you fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And that fight centers on the truth of God's word and bringing glory to the Lord. Jude chapter 1, the only chapter in Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. That terminology is like someone in a boxing match. Earnestly contend for the faith. You know, a lot of times I've witnessed this over a lot of years of ministry. I've seen people just give up. They just give up on God, give up on serving the Lord. They get in the heat of some trial or some problem, and they just walk away from the Lord. They don't put up a fight. There's going to be a lot of seasons in your Christian experience when you're going to have to stand up and fight. The enemy is your adversary. You're going to have to fight against the enemy who wants to destroy your faith. Amen. Fight. That word there literally comes from a Greek word that I cannot hardly pronounce, agonizo. And it is where we get our word agony. Amen. Some fights require a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of determination. Sometimes we have to pray and we have to persevere in prayer. That means you pray when you don't feel like it, but you just press forward and you pray anyway. Yes. Persevering in prayer. We have a reason to fight. It's important that we win this battle. We have to be overcomers. We have to overcome in these last days. Amen. There is a reason why we must fight the good fight of faith. And he's telling Timothy, Timothy, don't give up. You're gonna get hit head on with some trying situations, and the enemy is going to try to destroy you and beat you down and defeat you. But you, if you'll flee the things that you need to flee, and you run after the things that you should be pursuing, then you're going to be able to fight the fight of faith. Amen. Fight and resist the enemy, and he'll flee from you, holding forth the word of God, living a life of purity, a life of integrity, living your life and fight for it. Amen. Fight for the things that are most important. And then he says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Amen. Remember, there's more than just this life. If you're living only for this life, then it's a foolish thing. Really, if it's only this life, then there's not much to fight for. But if you'll fight the good fight of faith, you'll be able to lay hold of eternal life. Amen. Praise God. And that's what we're living for. Amen. Is one day soon, we're going to step out of this world into eternity. And we're going to win the battle. We're going to fight. And actually, there's no discharge from this war. We're going to be in this struggle all the way till we take our last breath. But you fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. That's the goal, isn't it? That's the desire. Lord, help me to fight this fight and win the battle and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Praise God. Let me tell you, the fight, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Someday soon, when you step into that glorious, wonderful place in eternity. And I know we can't imagine with our wildest imagination what it's going to be like. But heaven is a real place. Eternity is real. And that's our goal. We're fighting this fight because we want to lay hold on to eternal life. Hallelujah. There's some things to flee. There's some things to follow. If you're going to be a man of God, a woman of God, you're going to have to flee some things, follow after some things, and you're going to have to be able and willing to fight the good fight of faith. Praise God. Thank the Lord for his word tonight. Father, thank you that through your word you can encourage us. I thank you for the example of young Timothy, and Lord, how that you developed him into a man of God, Lord, and used him in such wonderful ways. And the challenge is for us here today to know what to run from, what to flee from, and to know what to run after, what to pursue, so that then we will be strong enough to fight the fight of faith and win the battle, lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's pray together. Would you stand?